Hi and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves on Daf Yud Bet Amud Bet. That's 12b, and we're about halfway down the page in the wide lines. We're on the 15th wide line, right in the middle of the line. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. Now, what we've been talking about in general in our tractate are things that you're allowed to do and not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed during the intermediate days of the festival. And the subcontext of that is we've come back a number of times to the topic that even when something is technically permitted on the holiday, that if you are an Adam Chashuv, if you're a rabbi or an important member of the community, such that you're a religious authority or a moral authority, that you may hold yourself to a higher standard. And we're going to continue in that inquiry now as well. The other topic we were just recently discussing is the topic of harama, which is a sort of deception. So sometimes there's something that you're allowed to do certain kinds of labor for the sake of your needs on the holiday, litzora chamoed. And what if you are doing something that you're allowed to do, but you do too much of it, so you have leftover, and that leftover then is something, stuff that you can use after the holiday. So can you set it up so that you know you're making too much, more than you need on the holiday? Is that deception allowed or not allowed? So we'll also come back to that a little bit as we conclude this Mishnah. Okay. 15th line down. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rabbi Judah the Prince, Nafak, he once went out on Shabbos, Bechumrata de Medosha, with some kind of a signet ring. It's unclear if it was a wooden ring with a metal seal or a metal ring with a wooden seal, but it was some kind of a signet ring. And the point of this is that it's not a ring that is an adornment. It's a ring that has a use. And that use apparently ordinarily would be to seal letters or to make official stamps. And you're not going to do that on Shabbos. So it becomes an item that's muksa on Shabbos. And therefore, it should be usher to carry it around. And here Rabbi Yehuda went out with the signet ring on Shabbos. And the ishti maya, and he drank water, da'achim kfela arma, that had been heated or boiled by a non-Jewish chef. So there are two possible things that he did that were wrong. One is that he was carrying something muksa on Shabbos, and the second is that he was drinking water that had been cooked by a non-Jew, and that is would be a violation of bishul nachri, of eating the cooking of a non-Jew. Shama Rav Ami heard about what Rabbi Yehuda had done, and Ikpid, he got upset. This is similar to the previous story where we had Rav, who harvested his field on Chol HaMoed, and Shmuel had gotten upset. But similar in that case, we weren't sure exactly what the circumstances were. So Amar Rav Yosef said, my time at Ikpid, what's the reason that he was so upset, that Rav Ami was upset? Imishum chumrasa de medosha, if it's because of the ring, Ha Tanya, we have a brisa that's gonna explain that this is actually permitted. The brisa says, Hashirin, Hashirin are bracelets, Hanizamim, Nizamim are nose rings, Vehatabaot, and finger rings, Harehen kechol hakelim, they are like any other vessels, Hanitalin bachatzer, which may be taken in a courtyard. And the situation here was that Rabbi Yehuda had moved or put on this ring in his courtyard, so it was permitted for him to carry this ring, so he shouldn't have been upset on that. And if he was upset because he drank water that had been heated by a non-Jewish chef, Ha Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Amar Rav, I have a teaching in the name of Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak in the name of Rav, Kol She Ne'achal Kimotshehu, any food item that can be eaten raw, kimochahu means in its present state as it is, kimochahu chai is uncooked, ein bo mishum bishulei nachrim, then there is no violation of cooking by a non-Jew, and we paskin this way. So water is a good example. You can drink water plain. Now, they may have been boiling it. This is a good question. If they're boiling it to get rid of any bugs or microbes that are in it so that it's healthy, then you don't want to drink it raw. But you can drink water plain, and if you boil water, it doesn't really change. You maybe just like hot water, but you could drink it cold, so it's no problem. So basically, his attitude is, I'm not sure why Rabbi Ami was upset. In both cases, what Rabbi Yehuda Anasi did is technically mutter. So he answers, Adam Chashuv Shaini, because he is an important person, he should hold himself to a higher standard. And I think that the explanation of this is that these are both things where it's easy for someone to get confused, meaning there's a lot of technicalities here in the law. And people who see Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi carrying the ring or drinking from the non-Jewish chef may not understand all of the specific circumstances that led him to believe this is permitted, and they will model their behavior after his, and they won't know all the details, and they'll do the wrong thing. And we see, first of all, that that may be the case, because even in the case of Rav, who was harvesting his field on Chol HaMoed, so he was doing it because he didn't have anything to eat, and Shmuel got upset at him because he didn't know all the circumstances. So it's easy not to know all the circumstances. And we'll see a story at the end of this Mishnah where other people saw an Adam Chashuv doing something, and they started doing it also, but they did it wrong. So it's a reasonable idea, but it is difficult then for an Adam Chashuv to figure out when he just has to follow the law and when he has to be Machmir. Okay, Amar Rav Chananel. Rav Chananel said, Amar Rav, in the name of Rav, Kotzeitz Adam Dekel Bamoed, a person may cut off branches from a palm tree on the holiday. Af al pi she'enu tzarich ela lenesoret shelo, even though he only needs the nesoret. Now, one interpretation, as Rashi says in the manuscript, of nesoret is he just wants sawdust. And apparently they used the sawdust to start fires. It was a very fine, it was a way of starting a fire, like, you know, kindling. Another interpretation of nesoret are, which is what Rashi says here, are etzim dakim. They're small branches, meaning he's cutting down a giant tree, which is a lot of work if you've ever seen a tree cut down. But all he really wants are some of the branches. And what that means is that the rest of the wood is going to be left for after Yontif. So this is a similar situation of the harama that we were talking about. So a person who needs a couple of small branches cuts down a whole tree and is kind of being deceptive, because now they've basically set themselves up to have all this lumber for after the holiday, and they're saying, oh, I just wanted some branches, but I had to cut down the whole tree to get the branches. However, Rav, the tradition of Rav says that even though you only need the small branches or the sawdust, you're allowed to do all the tircha of cutting down the rest of the tree. Anyway, that's Rav's opinion. However, layet ala Abaye. Abaye apparently went ballistic about this. Layet means to curse. So Abaye cursed anyone who would do this. So Abaye felt very strongly that this kind of deceptive work is not permitted. If all you need is some sawdust, then, you know, cut up some lumber that you have already, or just take off the small branches. Don't cut down the whole tree. So now we tell a story related to the Abaye's curse, which is why also we know that people should be careful about cursing other people. Rav Ashi havale ava bishalanya. Rav Ashi had a orchard or some kind of a grove in a place called Shalanya. Azal lemikze b'chula d'mo'ada. He went to cut down some of the trees there on Chol HaMoed. Amar le Rav Shila mishalanya. There was a Rav in Shalanya, and he said to Rav Ashi, Mishilanya l'Ravashi, said to Ravashi, my datech, what are you doing? Like, he basically disagreed with his decision. He said, you shouldn't cut down trees. To ka'amar Rav Chanan al amarav, Rav Chanan said in the name of Rav, kotes adam dekel b'moed, you're allowed to cut down trees, palm trees on the holiday. Afal pi she'enu tzarech el l'nesorot shelo, even though you only need the small branches or the sawdust. Halayet ala Abaye, but Abaye cursed anyone who would do this. So do you really want to do this? Amar le, he said to him, lo shmi'ali, I never heard that teaching of Abaye. And then the Gemara says in parentheses, kolomar lo svirali. In other words, I heard what Abaye said, but I don't agree with it. In other words, he agreed with Rav. He didn't think that Abaye's objection was reasonable. Well, they're having this conversation and he's cutting down the trees. Ishtamet narga, and suddenly the axe slips. Bay lemistake l'shaki, and it almost cuts his leg off. So Ravashi shavke v'hadar ata. And so Ravashi stopped cutting down the tree, left the orchard, and called it a day. So it's not clear 100%. If he did it just because of the trauma of almost having a huge injury, and so he just said, okay, that's enough for today. Or if he was saying, oh, you know, this is a sign that I shouldn't have dismissed Rav Ashi so quickly, I should really follow Rav Ashi. And so there's a dispute among the Rishonim as to whether or not from that time on he never cut down trees on Chol HaMoed, or if it was just for that day. Rav Yehuda, next line, Rav Yehuda shari lemekar kitna. Rav Yehuda permitted someone to uproot flax plants on Chol HaMoed, ulemikdal kishuta, and to harvest hops, and also to pull up sesame plants from the ground. All of these things he allowed him to do on Chol HaMoed. Amar le'Abaye, Abaye said to Rav Yosef, Bishlama kitna, he goes, I could agree, or it makes sense to me that you could uproot flax, chazei l'chafifa, because you could argue that you need that flax. Flax is like a plant that you could use for covering food. So you could use the leaves on Chol HaMoed for the sake of covering other food so it doesn't spoil. So you could argue that you have a need for it right now. Keshuta and hops, chazu l'shichra, you need them for making beer. So maybe you're going to make beer on the Chol HaMoed, and you need your hops in order to make the beer. Ela shum shume, but the sesame, lamai chazi, what do you need sesame for? Sesame, actually, after you pull it up from the ground, there's still a whole period of preparation. You have to soak it and grind it and cook it, and you're not going to do all of that on the holiday. It takes, I guess, a couple of days. Abaye didn't think that it should be permitted to pull up these sesame plants. So he answers, chazei l'nazie. It's permitted because the sesame plants have some seeds. Maybe these, says in Rashi, these might be, or in the manuscript Rashi, that these are dried out seeds that dry up even before you uproot them. And you can use these dried seeds either for food or for other purposes, but there's some way that you can use these seeds, the isbuhu, that it has on it. And therefore, since there's some immediate use for the plant, even though it's not 100% clear if that's what you intended, you can do it. So this all seems to fall into the category of deceptive practices. Again, it's not outright deception. It's not exactly like you're lying, but it's saying that as long as it's plausible that you have an immediate use for them, then it's permitted to do it on Chol HaMoed. Here's our final story in which we see again that in which the Gemara, I think, gives its final opinion that an Adam Chashuv does have to be careful what kind of a public impression he makes. Rabbi Yanai Havile Hahu Pardesa. Rabbi Yanai had a certain orchard. Demata Zimne, it reached its time. That is, the fruits in the orchard became ripe. Bechula demoad on Chol HaMoed. So, you know, you may have different orchards that ripen at different times. He had a particular orchard in which the fruits reached their ripe stage right on Chol HaMoed. So he understood that it was permitted then in that situation to harvest his fruits so that he wouldn't suffer a loss. Katfe. So he harvested them, he cut down all the fruits. Lishana, the next year, Shehuya Kule Ama Lepardesayo Lechula Lamada. All of his neighbors, who apparently were watching closely what he did, they all set it up so that their orchards became ripe on Chol HaMoed. You know, they set it up that way, and this was more convenient for them because you don't have to, it's on the holiday, and you don't have other work that's taking up your time, so it's more convenient for you to be able to do this work of harvesting on Chol HaMoed. So everybody set it up the way, and Rav Yanai suddenly realized that he had given the impression that you could arrange your orchards to become ripe on Chol HaMoed, whereas for him it happened by accident. They all set it up on purpose, but they did it because of him. So he felt badly about this. So afkare Rabbi Yanai lepardesei. Rabbi Yanai therefore made his entire orchard hefker. He said it's ownerless. In other words, he took no profit from it. Hahushata in that year. As a sign that he felt bad, and maybe perhaps as a public sign that the way he had done it was not just for his own profit or that he was not being deceptive about it, but he felt bad that he had misled all the other people. And Adam Chashuv, an important person, has to be careful what impression they make, especially in complicated halachic situations. People may not understand all the details. Okay, that takes us to our Mishnah at the bottom of the page. Let's keep going a little bit. The next Mishnah says, Machnis Adam Perotav Mipnei HaGanavim. A person may bring in his fruits on Chol HaMoed because he's afraid of thieves. So this is a little different, and this is the Ritva points out, I think, very cogently here, that this is not because the food is going to rot, which is both an intrinsic loss and a definite loss. You know what's going to happen, and it happens because that's the nature of the food. Here you have a suffix, you have a certain kind of a doubt, and the doubt is that someone might come steal your stuff, so you want to make sure it doesn't get stolen, so you take it in. But you're allowed to do it because it is a possible loss, and so we permit you to do it on Chol HaMoed to forestall the loss. V'shola pishtano min ha-mishra, and you can take your flax out of the tub. that is an intrinsic loss. The flax is going to rot if you let it soak for too long. And it's kind of a definite, like you know what's going to happen if you let it soak too long. So it's a little different. You can take your flax out of the tub, bishvil shelo tovad, in order that it not create a loss, because you don't have to suffer a loss on chol hamoed. Ubilvad, as long as shelo yichavin et malach tov hamoed, as long as you don't schedule the labor for the holiday, which is just as we saw, you're not supposed to set it up so that it happens that way on purpose, only if it happens that way by accident. V'chulan, on all of these cases, im kivnu malachtan b'moid, if you arranged it so that it would happen on the moid, yovdu. The halacha is that you're supposed to take the loss, meaning the heter, that you don't have to have a davar ha'avid, that you don't have to suffer a loss on chol moid, becomes negated if you set it up that way on purpose. Okay, the Gemara says, Tana. The Gemara says we have a teaching that will add one additional caveat to this teaching. Ubilvad sheyachnisem betzina letoch beito. As long as you bring the fruits in a private way. Now, the explanation for why you need to do this particular labor betzina when there are many other labors that don't have to be betzina is the explanation that we said before, that it's not intrinsic to the fruit itself. It's because you're afraid of robbers and because it's not definite. There's a chance that it'll happen, but it's not definite. So therefore, you should do it, but you should do it in a more modest, private way. And of course, we see that it's confusing, but there are some things that you're supposed to do more privately related to Chol HaMoed so as not to attract attention. Rav Yosef, so we tell a story about this, about doing something in private. Rav Yosef Havilek Shurei, he had some wooden beams, Eileen who be a mama, and he brought them into his house in full daylight. So that's exactly the opposite of what we said. Rather than doing it privately, he did it publicly in the full light of day. Amar le Abai, so Abai said to him, Ve'atanya, ubilvad sheyachnisem betzina betoch beito. But the Mishnah says you're supposed to do a betzina, and you're doing it in the middle of the day. Amar le, he said to him, Tzina dahane yemama. He goes, no, this is the most sanua way that I can do it. Meaning it's all relative. It's true that it's the middle of the day and I'm carrying the beams in, but this is the most sanua way that I can do it. Cave under Belela, if I was to do it at nighttime, which you would think would be more, you know, tsanua, ba'u ugavra yetere, I'd have to hire extra men, uba'u meduchre denura, and I'd have to hire torchbearers. So he goes, first, it would be more dangerous for me. I'd have to get somebody else to help me carry it, and I'd have to get somebody to provide light, and then all more people would know, because I'd have to do this whole, you know, hullabaloo in the middle of the night in order to get them into my house. And he says, that is avsha milta. That would cause a commotion and ruin the serenity of the holiday. So this is probably the source for why Rashi thought above that the problem of plowing with cows was avsha demilta, because we have that topic here related to this issue. Okay, that takes us to the two dots. V'shola pishtana mina mishra, you're going to take the flax out of the vat so that it doesn't soak for too long. By mini Rabbi Yirmiyah me Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Zera, kivein milachto b'moed umeit mahu. What if he scheduled the work for the holiday? Meaning he did what he was not supposed to do. We said, if you schedule the work for the holiday, then you have to take the loss. But what if he did it and then he died? Mahu sheyiknisu banav acharav. Do we apply the knas, the punishment for scheduling the work on the moed, does it apply to his children or does it only apply to him? That's the question. Is it, and the Gemara is going to identify this question as, is it a personal knas, meaning he did the wrong thing and therefore we're punishing him? Or is it a knas on the money itself? Are we saying when you do this, the proceeds of that labor are fined? If it's on him himself, then his children didn't do anything wrong. Maybe it wouldn't apply to them. If it's on the money, then they inherit the money and that's all there is to it. They have to pay their father's debt. Im Timtzi Lomar, you might want to say that you could apply, that you could compare it to the following case. The case is Tsaram, I'm at the very top of Yud Gimel. We're going to go to the Mishnah just to close this out. Tsaram ozen bechor. If a person nicked the ear of a firstborn animal. So this is referring to a Kohen. So a Kohen, bizman hazeh, well, in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, a Kohen was supposed to offer the Bechor as a sacrifice, unless it had a mum. If it had a blemish, then it became the Kohen's property. Nowadays, that you can't give it to the Beit HaMikdash, it still applies. So the Kohen can't use the animal until it develops a mum all by itself. So you might have a Kohen who wants to expedite the process, so to speak. And if he nicks the ear of the animal, that's a blemish. And then he can own the animal and use the animal. But if he does it, if he subverts the process, we fine him. It's not allowed. So kansu b'no acharav. So according to this teaching, we would not only fine him for causing a blemish in the animal, but even his children, if he then died and his son, the Kohen, inherited the animal, he also wouldn't be able to use it. And if you would say such a thing, mishum di isurei doraita. Well, that's an isur doraita. The Bechor is a Torah law, whereas here, even though, says the Ran, that we say that malacha on Chol HaMoed is doraita, or many authorities say that doing any labor on Chol HaMoed is from the Torah, the truth is that the exact definition of what's considered malacha and what's not is totally the Rabbanan. And so a person here who schedules his labor for the holiday is really only violating a Rabbanan, so you wouldn't compare the two. Now, what's interesting is the Rif actually says that the conclusion of the Gemara related to nicking the ear of the Bechor is that we don't find his son after him. The conclusion of the Gemara is that we don't find his son after him. So this is really just a hava mina. He said, even if you were to say a hava mina, then in that case where there is an opinion that we would find his son after him, it still wouldn't apply to this case because that's mean from the Torah and this is from the rabbis. But the actual conclusion of that case is that a Kohen who nicks the ear of an animal and then dies, his son is not punished. His son does not have to take it. The imtim sulamar, if you want to say, in a different case, machar avdo le'ovid kochavim umeit, in a situation where he sells his slave to a non-Jew. Now, he's not supposed to do this either. So you're not supposed to sell your slave to a non-Jew because when you have an Eved Kenani, even though he's a non-Jewish slave, there is a certain kind of conversion process that happens. Like if he's a male slave, he still has, he gets a circumcision and he has to go to the mikvah and he is like a quasi-Jew. He has to do mitzvot. He's required to do certain mitzvot. So if you now sell him to a non-Jew where his non-Jewish master won't allow him to do those mitzvot, you're basically, it's like a lifnei iver situation. You're causing him not to do the mitzvot that he's required to do. So therefore the rabbis find people who sold their slaves to non-Jews. Okay, so he sells his slave to a non-Jew, umate, and then he dies. Kansu b'no acharav. Do we fine his children afterwards? Now the fine is that if the slave then leaves the employ of the non-Jew, can you still take him back as your slave? And we say no, you're not allowed to. And the Rif also says in this case that the conclusion of the Gemara is that we don't fine the children after him. But he says even if you were to have such a hava mina, mishum de kol yoma mafkele mitzvot, the reason why they fine him in that case is because you are taking him away from doing mitzvot. But here you're not. So in this case, what would be the halacha? Gavra kanis rabbanan, are the rabbis finings the gavra, the person? So the person who did the wrong thing, that's who is kanis rabbanan, the rabbis are fining. V'halete, and now he's dead. So why should it apply to his children? They didn't do anything wrong. Odilma, or maybe mamona kanis rabbanan, the rabbis are finding the money, the proceeds. They're saying that he did the wrong thing, and therefore the proceeds of this wrong thing are under the ban. The ha'ite, and the money is still there. So the children, even though they didn't do anything wrong, since they have ill-gotten gains, they are. It still applies to the fine. Amarle, so he said to him, tinituha. We do have a precedent for this. Maybe I can't compare it to the case of the animal that's a Bechor or the case of the man who sold his slave to a non-Jew, but I do have a case that is comparable. And the case is this: Sade Shenit Kavtza, a field that had its thorns removed, Bashvit, on the Shemitah year, the seventh year, which you're not supposed to do. Tizara lemote shvi'it, you are allowed to plant it after shvi'it. Netaiva onedaira, if you improve the field or you put animals there. So some people interpret these both as fertilization. Netaiva would be fertilizing it by dumping fertilizer on it. Nedaira would be fertilizing it by letting animals walk and poop on it. But the Ran says netaivo would mean that you plow it a second time to make it soft, to make the ground softer. But in other words, you're doing certain things to get the land ready for planting. Lo tizara la motzei shvit, then you can't plant it on motzei shvit. Meaning, if you are fertilizing or plowing the field on the sabbatical year, the rabbis punish you or fine you by saying that you're then not allowed to plant it on the eighth year as a punishment for violating the Shemitah. V'am Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, and Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says, Naktinan Hetiva, we learn from this that if he improved the field umate and then he died, which is our case, b'no zora, then his children are allowed to plant it. So not only is this a d'oraita case, but it's exactly our case that we see if he violated the sabbatical year and then he died, his children do not have to suffer the consequences of the fine. In other words, it seems like the conclusion is Alma Ledide Kansu Rabbanan. The rabbis were fining him himself for doing the wrong thing. It was personal. Libare Lo Kansu Rabbanan. But to his son, the rabbis did not fine him. So it doesn't transfer from one generation to the next, and it doesn't go into the money or the actual proceeds. It's just the guy. Amar Abai. Abai teaches a similar teaching. Naktinan, we learn, Time Taharotav Umeit, Lo Kansu Bino Acharav. In a situation where someone was Mitame Taharos, so you had certain kinds of food that were in a state of sanctity, and you mixed in other food. Now, we're assuming this is food that belongs to someone else. So you took someone's Taharos, and you mess them up. So you would owe them, now they can't use it, so you would owe them money because you basically damaged their property. But what if someone does that, and then he dies? Lo kansu b'nacharav, the children do not have to pay the damage afterwards. My time, well, what's the reason? Meaning, children should inherit the debts of their fathers. When they inherit the money, they have to pay off the creditors. But in this case, they don't have to. And the reason is hezek she'eno nikar lo shmei hezek. This is a kind of a damage that is a more subtle damage. It's not clearly damaged. They didn't poison the food or ruin the food in a way that can be clearly seen. They just mixed in non-sacred food into it, so it can't be used. So technically, the halacha is that kind of hezek is not punishable by Torah law. However, the rabbis made a knas that if you did it, you had to pay. But in this case, where he dies, Ledide Kansur Abanan, the rabbis fined him and they said, even though it's Hezek She'enu Nikar, it's an unrecognizable Hezek, we're still going to make a rabbinic knas, a rabbinic fine. Libare Lo Kansur Abanan, but to his children, they did not fine him. So in these particular cases, where the rabbis extended the law to levy a fine on someone, it applies only to the person who did the wrong thing, and their heirs, it does not apply to them. And that takes us down to the Mishnah about a quarter of the way down on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. We'll stop there. Have a wonderful day.